Praise his name. Let's stand together. Let's just bow our heads. We open the service. Father, Lord, we're truly appreciative, Lord, to be able to come and, Lord, to gather around your word. Lord, we trust and know by faith, Lord, that you're going to speak to us today. Where two or three are gathered together, you promised you would be with us and meet us and speak to us. So, Father, Lord, we come with great anticipation. And Lord, what do you have for us? Lord, and we look through our lives and see, I know I do, Lord, I can see many places I want to draw closer to you. And Lord, just surrender more of myself to you. And Father, Lord, what in your word today will help me do that? Speak to my heart, Lord. Grant to me greater revelation. Bless each and every one that's here today, Lord. May you do the same for them, Lord, and grant to them the portion that you have for them today on their walk, wherever they may be. Bless us now. Bless the songs, Father, you've laid on our hearts, Lord, that may prepare us for your word as it comes forth. And each and every phase of the service, may you just get the glory and honor and praise we ask in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. Do you love him?
Amen.
Is he still sweet to you?
Yes.
Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with our big books there. I'd like to start on page 36. Amen. Showers of blessings. Amen. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Oh, mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valley, sound of abundance of rain. Amen. Oh, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord, pray. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Oh, showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we there shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Amen. You want a shower blessing this morning? Amen. Ask him. Amen. And he'll grant it to you. Hallelujah. Page 46, over a couple pages there. Amen. Sunlight. in my soul today. In shady. Wait. 40, sorry about that. I wandered in the shades of night till Jesus came to me. And with the sunlight of his love bid all my darkness flee. Oh, sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since my Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love within. The clouds may gather in the sky and billows round me roll. However dark the world may be, I've sunlight in my soul. Oh, sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since my Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love. While walking in the light of God, I sweet communion find. I press with holy vigor on and leave the world behind. Oh, sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Oh, sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since my Savior found me, took away my I have had the sunlight of Amen. I cross the wide extended fields, I journey o'er the plain, and in the sunlight of his love I reap the golden grain. Oh, sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Oh, sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since my Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love within. Soon I shall see him as he is, the light that came to me. Behold the brightness of his face throughout eternity. Oh, sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since my Savior found me, took away my sin, oh, I have had the sunlight of his love. Amen. Oh, sunlight, sunlight on my soul today. Oh, sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since my Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love within. Amen. Is that sunlight burning in your heart for all to see and share? Amen. Praise his name. Page 8. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to see him. Amen. Joyful day today, saints. Amen. Wonderful day to be serving him.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. And oh, I want to see you, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. There's all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside. But my Lord goes ahead, leads where'er betide. And oh, I want to see him look upon his face, there sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Here's all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight. With a tender hand outstretched for the valley low, guiding me, oh, I can see as I onward go. And oh, I want to see him look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my part, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through the world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love him so. And oh, I want to see him look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. There's all past, oh, my life, ever to rejoice. And oh, I want to see him, amen. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Here's all past, oh, my life, ever to rejoice.
Amen. Oh, I do want to sing, saints. Amen. Brother Luke, would you like to come up? Praise us. That's the blessing, if you will. Where would I be without Jesus? Amen.
Oh, where would I be without Jesus? Where would I spend eternity? Oh, lost in a world full of sorrow. Oh, without Jesus, where? Tell me, where would I be without
Jesus? Hallelujah.
Where would I spend eternity? Oh, lost in a world full of sorrow. Oh, without Jesus, where would I be?
Praise his name. Amen. How many have something on your heart, maybe? Amen. Just hold it on your heart as we bow our heads. Brother Jim, would you like to take the request?
Lord Jesus, we should thank you for the opportunity to come here. Lord, hear the word, what we have need of, Lord. Father, we just pray that you would open our hearts to the word this morning. Give us revelation, Lord. Oh,
precious Jesus.
And Lord, bless each and every one that's not here. One that's here, Lord, open our understandings to the word. Give us revelation. And Lord, we just ask now that you would bless each one.
Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Would someone have a song this morning? congregation. Amen. Praise his name. Would you have something, Karen, this morning? I ask if you'd come.
If this world could only see what's taking place in you and me, there's been an invisible union. The Word lives in reality, but the church is all laugh with scorn. While my soul cries, I want more. Whisper your secrets to me, Lord. I believe. As for me, we're his genes, life of his life, his blood bought victory. I was made for this word fits me. I secrets never known to man. By faith we simply understand. Jehovah Eagles soared over and screamed. Those mysteries called our name. Now on Christ's body word we feed. We've heard from our theophany. Before the world prepared for me, I believe. As for me, I believe. We're his genes, life of his life, his blood bought victory. I was made for this word fits me, I believe. I was made for this word fits me, I believe.
Amen. Let's all stand, if you will. Ask our brother to come, sing Only Believe. Amen.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
I believe. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now I believe all things are possible. Now I believe. Now I believe. Now I believe. All things are possible. Now I believe.
Amen. With our heads bowed just a moment. Heavenly Father, we trust today that we've been able to gather here today now, and Lord, our dependency lays upon you, that Lord Jesus, that we could receive the Word of God in such a way, amen, that Lord, we could truly say now, I believe. Lord, where there'd be no doubt, no misinterpretations, nor nothing out of place, but everything in time, and everything just the way you want it to be. And Lord, I trust that we'll have that blessed assurance in our hearts, that Lord, all these things that you have placed before us and in us, that Lord, now nothing can come against us. Lord, we ask now that you would bless us with the Word of God, and feed us, Lord, feed our hungry souls. For Lord, we know you've come here today to feed the hungry. Lord, if we are already full or have no need of food or feel we have no need, then Lord, the food isn't for us. But Father, if we feel our needs and we come hungry and humbly before you, then Lord, you will feed us. We ask now that you would bless us, and thy will be done, and lead us all by your Holy Spirit. We ask in your precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I, again, am so thankful to be here this morning. Amen. Amen. So thankful that you could all be here with me. Amen. Glory to his name. Let us turn our Bibles again to another scripture here, reading Jude 1 and 21 will begin. The book of Jude, and we'll begin the 21st verse. Amen. We want to go back in again for this morning at least, for just put some finishing touches on. I don't know. Maybe feel led to go back in this evening, depending on how far we get into it. But I'd like to go back into again this true justification. Amen. Are you seeing now how God sees you?
Amen.
Amen. Oh my. If it can only be received now by revelation. Not intellectual knowledge, but revelation. The Holy Spirit revealing it to you in your heart. All right, 22nd verse, book of Jude. And of some have compassion. Well, let's go to 21st. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and who is that? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. Amen. Again, we can see Jude had this revelation of this faultlessness before God, and as Paul also did. And Jude, it kind of struck my heart about Jude here, saying it in a way of the way Apostle Paul said it, of presenting you faultless. And remember, he's the only one that was able to work that all out. To work it out to where you would be faultless before God Almighty. And when you think of that, and as I said, and think about how we talked about last Sunday, about how we were all born in sin, Brother Branham said, and coming to this world speaking lies and doing the terrible things that we did. It's just amazing that how God would not be interested in seeing that no more. Many times I've seen some people just really beat themselves up really bad, you know, over things that they've done in the past and so forth. And we should be ashamed of things we've done in the past and so forth. But some people just continue to seem to beat themselves up and work themselves over because of what they've done. Well, what they need is a true revelation of what the Lord Jesus Christ has taken care of and how that he has made a way that you would be presented before him faultless. Now, can you imagine that of all the faults that we've had in life? I mean, we've all had a lot of faults. Amen. There ain't a one of us sitting here that's not faultless. We all have had a lot of faults in our lives in the past and maybe some still things we need to overcome in life. But yet God has made this way that where people could be completely faultless. That's without any fault before him. And to think, why would he do all these things? Why would he want it done that way? Well, again, as we've already was kind of speaking on a little bit last Sunday, you know, to stand before God, it's going to have to all be clean, you know? All the unclean is going to have to stand before him on the day of judgment. But friends, when you go in his presence and begin to worship him and live with him throughout eternity, it's got to be faultless. Amen. You've got to be clean. Everything has got to be just right. Because he will not tolerate sin.
Amen.
No. You can show, you can see it all down through the scripture how God hates sin. And anything that's not like him, he will not tolerate. He'll destroy it. He'll burn it. He'll flood it. Whatever he may do. But he'll destroy it one way or the other, as he has already in the past. And like I say, of course, people oftentimes in that condition, they don't think there's anything wrong. You know, think all them people that was mocking Noah before God washed this earth with water and destroyed all those living things? Don't you think that those people then was in that position that they thought everything was all right? If they didn't think their life was right, they sure wouldn't have been mocking Noah, making fun of him. But they thought they was right. They thought there was no problem in their life, and everything was clean, and they didn't have to worry about it. Amen. But yet, God had a true predestinated plan and a way that anything that he got tired of tolerating, he destroyed it. Destroyed it and cleaned it off and got rid of it. And the same thing he'd have to do with us if he didn't provide a way. He'd have to destroy us, burn us in a lake of fire. And in type, there'll be many people sitting in churches today, even today, in thousands and millions of buildings that think there isn't no problem. And they think everything's all right. But yet, God, who's rich in mercy, has shown a few scattered throughout the earth that there is a way to be clean before him. And what their life is and what's being manifested in their life if they are one of these ones that's justified. You know, the old devil likes to get a hold of these things of talking about justified too, you know, but he likes to take it in a way just like he has in many, many years in the past. He likes to take us justified and say, well, I'm justified, now I can do whatever I want to do, and it don't make no difference if I'm overcoming everything. I'm justified. I'm all right before God. And if I get a little angry at people, no problem. If I don't really have long-suffering and kindness, no problem. God will overlook me and I'll go on. No. That's the devil's carnal interpretation. That's when you know for a fact, in reality, you do not have a revelation. When you begin to think, well, I'm justified, I can do what I want to do. God don't see it. I'm going to tell you what. Without that blood, God sees it. And when you're in sin, and knowing to do good and doeth it not, God sees it. And friends, it's filthy before Him. And those people that thinks they got the revelation then and thinking that way that they can do whatever they please, they'll burn in hell. And hell's a real place. And they'll one day finally be consumed. How long they'll burn, I don't know. Only God Himself will determine that. But the thing it is, there's still a reality to a true justification without any carnal interpretation, with any foolishness and ridiculous, devilish ways added to it. You know, you can just see, as I said, you can just see people would hear these things and they've read these things and might pop a lid on a booze and start drinking. No problem, I'm justified. Or maybe go out lusting after women, knowing they're committing adultery. Oh, God, I'm justified. I'm not worried about it, you know. I'm clean. I can hear what that prophet said, and I believe what that prophet said, and that's for me. Yeah. They'll find out one of these days. So there is a truth of true justification. And there is a receiving it by revelation and not a carnal interpretation. So like I say, but you can see as we read these things how easily it'd be to take for somebody that isn't born again to take a carnal interpretation of it and just do whatever they want to do and feel within themselves, no big deal. You know, not say anything to nobody, but no big deal if I don't overcome this because the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. He said I'm justified. I feel I'm called. I feel I've really been my desire to serve. Do you know how many people is going to burn in hell that's had a desire to serve God? Do you realize that? A lot of people is going to burn in hell that desires to serve God. They have a thirst to serve God. But that ain't it. It doesn't stop there. Remember what I said in my prayer Thursday evening? It's everywhere. 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 And that's the only way we have life. If it ain't every word, there is absolutely positively no life. None. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So like I say, we can't sit here today and just accept a carnal interpretation of what we'll read today. Or what we've already read in the past. But we must cry out for revelation. Do you realize that's the only way you're going to get it? We sit here as human beings and we sit here and the preacher gets up and he starts preaching on the word and reading scriptures and he starts reading quotes and so forth. But do you realize how dangerous it is to sit there and not get the revelation? It is so dangerous. So scary. Yeah. To sit here and just have heard it, that's all it is. So dangerous. Then awake and walk out of here safely today is if God reveals to me the word. Otherwise, I don't walk out of here safe. I walk out of here in death's grip. Yeah. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you think God's going to take anything that doesn't please Him? No. If you don't please Him, we're out. Amen. And the only way I can get that faith is God revealing to me. So do you understand why I say it's very dangerous to walk out of here without getting a revelation of what's being said? It's so dangerous. That's why we should cry out for revelation more than anything in this life. Do you realize there's preachers that's preaching this message that wouldn't even understand what I just got done saying? They don't have a clue. They don't understand what I'm saying, how dangerous it is to walk out after hearing the word and not being revealed. I hope none of us walk out of here today not realizing how dangerous it is to walk out of this building knowing for a fact that the Lord Jesus Christ revealed something to me today through the word. If people would see the reality of all these things, how much different we would walk. How much different we would act. You see? But again, we came here today for what? Just as Paul said in Ephesians 4, until we come into the unity of the faith and the fullness of the stature of Christ. If I didn't come here with that in mind, to continue to grow to that, I came for the wrong purpose. Amen. So I trust today that you come today again to listen to the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. Amen. Will you do that? Amen. As I said, because you've got to keep in mind, saints, it's so dangerous to walk out of this building without the Holy Ghost revealing you the Word for this day. Because if he doesn't, there is no life. And it's the only evidence I've got whether I'm born again. Because you can have a lot of other things. You can do a lot of things. But the only true evidence of being born again today is being able to receive the word and it vindicate itself. So if I receive today or the message we've been on, true justification, then it'll vindicate itself. It'll show that I've got a right revelation of it and not a carnal interpretation of it. That's why I just go out satisfied myself. And I said a little bit ago, it's not, you don't have to say nothing to nobody. Nobody. You may never breathe a breath to nobody of what you really feel inside. But the minute, I can't keep from stressing it because the Holy Ghost wants me to. But the minute you walk out and you think, regardless of what you do, everything's good. You definitely received a carnal interpretation of the word. And you're in death. You see? Amen. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. Be very respectful to God's word and what he tells you. Because we'll give an account of it. And look what we would have to give account of here. Just think about it. Be a lot to be held accountable for. Amen. But he says here again, let me read again what Jude said, just 24th verse. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you. I want you to notice that because Apostle Paul is going to say the same thing here in a little bit. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. Yeah, remember we talked about the angels? Yeah. They can't have dirt all over them. Wrong, sin. No, they never came the way we did. They wasn't born in sin, shame, and iniquity. So they didn't start out like we did. So they're standing clean before God. And they still cover their face, cover their feet with their wings in the presence of God. Yeah. So reverently and respectfully. Yeah. So why wouldn't we still very reverently and respect the Lord, even if we find out we are truly justified? Huh? How could we even begin to think, oh, I can do anything I want because I'm justified now? Yeah. I'm justified to go do this, and I'm justified even if I do that. Yeah. Oh, who cares if I break the law over here, the land? Who cares if I wasn't kind to this person? Who cares if I wasn't quite long-suffering like I should be with somebody? Who cares? God cares. Yeah. And it's God's word. And if we don't live by every word, then don't worry, you ain't truly justified. Yeah. See why I said that here in a little bit. There is something that has a requirement to it.
by being truly justified. There is a life that comes forth if you're truly justified. Okay? So keep that in mind now. Now, if you will, turn your Bibles with me again to Colossians 1. We read that one scripture there the other night, or Thursday evening. I'd like to go back to it again. I'd like to have this up before you again. Okay, Colossians 1, let's begin to 12 verse. Amen. Now think of all these things Apostle Paul is saying when we get to the certain point. Okay, I want you to make sure you're aware of that and think about it now. Colossians 1, begin 12 verse. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now you all notice again, I want you to think about it now. If there's light, you can see where you're going, right? Amen. It's pretty simple to understand that. If it's darkness, take and say, if there was absolutely no light coming through the windows today, and when all the light's out in here, there's absolutely no way for any light to penetrate through any cracks or any crevices or anything, and no light at all. And we'll say, you got to go to a certain bench. What are you going to do to get to there? You're going to be trying to feel and stumble, and you don't, what? Know for sure where you're going. Is that right? Amen. You don't know for sure who's sitting there. Especially if it was maybe everybody come in and it was all mixed up. Right now, you might know, have an idea, I remember this and I remember that. That's kind of a type out with intellectualism. You know, people can remember the word, but that don't mean anything. But regardless, even how well we remembered where everybody was sitting, we'd still want to make sure we tried to fill and maybe say, hey, whisper something, Brother Timothy. Maybe I can find you. Yeah. But in darkness, you're not sure. But Apostle Paul is talking about these saints in light, these people in light. So these people in light knows where they're going, knows what's going on. They know how to get there. They know exactly where to put the hand and what the hand's going to hit. They know exactly who they're going to speak to as they look at them. Because they're in light. Okay? Keep that in mind. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You see, at one time we were in darkness. And there may be somebody sitting here today still in darkness. You see? Because they don't have the revelation. The only thing that sets you free from that is God revealing to you His great plan. Amen. It sets you free. Now you're in light. But until then, you're in darkness. Until the Holy Ghost gets inside of you and starts turning that darkness and pushing darkness out. Darkness is present. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now remember, the forgiveness of sins is not for everybody. The blood of Jesus Christ is only for the elect. Oh, yeah. Brother Bram showed us that. So just anybody going down the street, they could ask God to forgive them 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. If we're not predestinated seed of God, it don't mean nothing to God. No. They're not covered with the blood. The blood is for the elect. Okay? In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God.
who is the image of the invisible God, and our Lord Jesus Christ was. The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. Now notice these things as Paul says them. By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things, now not part things, all things were created by him and for him. Even Lucifer was, which is the devil. But God had a purpose for him. Yeah. But all things were created by him and for him. It's all for his purpose. Okay? So even thinking of that so far, it shouldn't be any problem at all, I wouldn't think, for God to make a way for people to be justified. It shouldn't be no problem at all for this one that done all things and by him all things were created, that this one take and be able to be great enough to forget our past sins. Can you agree?
Amen.
Shouldn't be too great for him, should it? Or I should say too hard for him. You know, it shouldn't be too hard for anybody that created all things to forget somebody's sins. But can I really believe that? Can I absolutely 100%? Because my little puny brain remembers the things I've done wrong. And so does yours. Don't sit there and lie. You remember what you've done wrong. Oh yeah. But with our puny little brains still remembering those things, and you'd think, well, Brother Steve, that ain't too puny. If I can remember, God can't remember, but I can. I'm pretty great. No. You're puny because you can remember. It takes greater to forget it. See? So here we stand now in our puny little brains, you know, little pea-picking human spirit, you know, and we have a memory. And we can remember. But here the great I am made a way that he would never remember it. It's as though you never done it in the first place. Think of that. And he is before all things. Friends, he's in control regardless what happens or what looks like happening. He is before all things. Without him, nothing was made. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body. Now, if he's the head of the body, which you're a part of that body, if you're in Christ, if he's the head of you, your head, your ruler, your control tower, you do what he wants done, the way a real true wife should be. You know, some women want to be in the message today, but they still don't want to do everything their husband wants done or the way he wants it done. They still got their own little glitch. They stick things in there and want to change things, even though everything he's doing is right and the way it should be done. But she wants to twist it some way because she wants that control. Yeah. Well, the true bride of Christ is not like that. He is the true head. She is a true wife. And whatever the head wants, the wife is, amen with me. Whatever you want, Lord. If you don't want me to break the law of the land over here speeding down the highway, I won't do it. You can guarantee that, Lord. It ain't going to happen by your grace because you're the head. Amen. But that ain't the way a lot of people are today. No. And a lot of women ain't that way today. You know, God, all he has to do to a true bride is he just squeaks, and it's her greatest command.
Amen.
I said the true bride. But the churchgoers, it's hammered and hammered and push and prod, scream and prod and scream and prod. Oh, I'll get to it sometime. And then still turn their back and walk away from it. Is that a wife to the Lord Jesus Christ? No. It's just a harlot. Prostitute.
an adulteress. Yeah. She tries to be the wife to the Lord Jesus Christ, but she's going out with Satan and going to bed with Satan. Yeah. She ain't worth it. She ain't a true bride. But a true bride is, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And you watch a real good wife to a husband in the day and age we live. Is that what you want, hon? I'll try my best to do if that's what you want. I want to do whatever you want, hon. Whatever pleases you. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, then a true husband wouldn't want her to do anything that wouldn't be right. No. So it makes it a little bit rougher when you got a husband that ain't born again and goes to church and sits and listens to messages and everything. It makes it a little bit rough. I know I'm going a long ways around things, but I'm just trying to give you a little picture of people that's truly justified and has not received a carnal interpretation of it, but truly are justified. Okay? So he says here, and he is the head of the body, the church. That's the called out one. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things. Oh, he's a husband that has preeminence over his wife in all things. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Yeah. He's got a real wife. And that's the real wife he's coming back for. Yeah. Not this woman of today. Women today, as I said, they want as much control as they can get and still try to get by with it. Yeah. And it ain't no problem to show them how they're displeased, even though the husband's 100% right in what he's doing. Oh, she's just got to have that way. I got to show I'm displeased with this. And I want my way. Yeah. And some of you husbands create that atmosphere. Letting her run all the time. Letting her do what she wants to do. Even though there's no sense for it to be done. Or can wait to another time. Or can wait to another time is better for it to be done. Men just don't stand up and be lords anymore. They just don't stand up and be rulers anymore. Because I'm telling you, a carnal woman will press you all the way, friends. And try to press the right to the limit to see what she can get by with. Yeah. But the husband just lets it go. I love her. I'll just let her do what she wants to do. She's in the message. She knows what to do. I'm going to tell you what, friends. She's the weaker vessel. I don't care how much she's in the message. How much she's born again. She's the weaker vessel. And the man must be her ruler. Not dictator, a ruler. You see? Yeah. But I said, some men just let them go. Let them go. Does that sound like a woman under her husband's? Under his rule? Under his preeminence? Huh? Well, then, Brother Steve, if that's the way it is, I should have never married him. Well, maybe you shouldn't have. If you didn't, you should never get married if you don't want a man to be your ruler. So many women today want to get married, but they don't want a man telling them what to do. Yeah. But when you get married, friends, you give up that right to him. Yeah. Same way when we marry our Lord Jesus Christ and we become a part of him, we give up our rights. Yeah, we can't go to ball games no more, and we don't go to this no more, and we don't go to bar rooms no more, we don't smoke cigarettes no more, we don't talk foolish no more, we don't talk about filthy things no more. It's gone, friends. We gave up those rights because he's our husband. But thank God when he done and married us and we married him, friends, he gave us a desire to serve him. Hallelujah. And everything will be done right. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell.
and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things. I like, oh, it's always all things. It ain't half, it ain't 90%. No, it's all things. He takes care of everything. It's so wonderful. Reconcile all things unto himself by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, which we all were. Yes, we was. Yet now hath he reconciled. In the body of his flesh through death. Sounds like Jude now. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in your sight, in his sight. Yeah, in his sight. Because he doesn't want to see all this garbage we had attached to us. Yeah. And regardless how and what God done for us in our life, not everybody can forget what you've done. Sinners maybe that you ran out with and done things with them, they won't forget it. No. And maybe the things you done when you was married early in life and done wrong against your wife, or your wife done against you wrong, husband. And maybe you wasn't in Christ like you should have been. You too may still remember that. But we're talking about one that can forget everything about it. And no longer holds it against us. Even though times we hold it against ourselves, we need to learn and trust in God and let him reveal to us that before him, it's all clean. Amen. So that I can stand before him without condemnation. Oh, glory to his name. Amen. Amen. I'm taking this a little different approach today, but I want you to get a certain thing here. All right, this is in Christ the mystery of God revealed. I'm about to hurry up. My time's a flying. Christ the mystery of God revealed. I'll begin to read here, page 578. Now we see the promise being fulfilled, Christ, the true headship, going in and coming into his, or coming in his bride, doing the same works that he did at the beginning, and making ready and fulfilling his word as he did at first in John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Then the head and the body are becoming one. I remember what I said Thursday evening in my prayer. Okay. They're becoming one in works and in sign. Now, is that where we want to stop, like some message believers are doing? And in life. It's all of it. It ain't seeking signs and wonders, and that's it. Like so many are turning to. It's life also, which is so hard for the people to receive in this day. Signs, works, miracles, looking for miracles and great things, the preacher getting up and mighty things happening. That's all good. But don't forget, life has to go with it. The literal life of Jesus Christ. And so does the literal life of Jesus Christ has to go with this justification. It ain't just sitting there, praise God, I'm justified, hallelujah, glory to God. And then there's life, no life to back it up. Yeah. I still think I can go on the job and working for somebody and steal something and he owed it to me. I worked 10 minutes over and he didn't pay me for that. Well, if the agreement was to pay you by the hour, and he paid you for the time you exactly had in, he don't owe you nothing more. No.
I had to put up with this, so that's why I stole that. That ain't in the agreement. You agreed to work for this price, this salary, whatever it is. And when it's salary, friends, you might have to work 2 hours over. Tough luck. But I work 2 hours over and I'm on salary and he owes this to me. No. That place don't owe you nothing more than what they paid you. What's this got to do with true justification, Brother Steve? You're getting off the wrong end. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm just going to bring back to your remembrance what true justification is. You can't feel just in your sin. No way. Impossible. Let's go on. The head and the body are becoming one in works and in sign and in life, vindicated by God Himself. Wow, then that means everything's going to be done right, isn't it? If God's going to do the vindicating, I'm going to tell you, when life's there, it ain't you doing it. It's Christ living in you. Remember what Paul said? I live, but yet it's not I. It's Christ that liveth in me. You see? So now, on true justification, I'm going to begin to see this. If I'm truly justified, it's got to be Christ in the control seat of my heart and His vindication coming forth, or I have not got true justification. Amen. I got a carnal interpretation. Praise God, I'm justified, and I'll do what I want to do. Nope, it don't work that way. Vindicated by God Himself through His promised word for the last days. He promised this in the last days. Now, if you're spiritual, you'll catch it in the same way you will today. If you're spiritual, in other words, you've got the Holy Ghost, you'll catch it. Otherwise, you may never catch it. Then we can see that the marriage supper is at hand. Now, if I never see you again, remember, the marriage supper is at hand. And then the kingdom, according to the promise, is ready to be issued in the great millennium, the taking up of the church, and the destroying of the wicked and the world under the sixth seal to be purified by volcanic, to take all the corruption and sin of the world and to mold her out again and bring forth a bright new millennium for the age that is to come. Right there, if people just read that, they'd know they wasn't in a millennium yet. Some message preachers is preaching that we're already in the millennium. Sometimes I wonder where they even got their brain from. Some chicken or something. When we see all these great threefold revelations, God in Christ, Christ in the church, the kingdom coming, Adam and Eve redeemed back to the Garden of Eden in the representation of Christ and His bride, and then the kingdom is going to be restored according to His promise, praise be to God, he says. Now by the revelation of the threefold mystery, the secret, and by the personal vindicated word, by His original headship, hope we're spiritual to catch it. Not say, well, glory to God, we shout, hallelujah, we sing. That ain't it. If I even would come in here and get excited and singing and everything and might have a good old time of worshiping God. That alone isn't it. No. He says, I'm a missionary and I've been 7 times practically over the world. See, I've seen heathens, devils, and everything else dance and shout. I've seen all kinds of fleshly manifestations. It's carnal. But I'm talking about the headship of Christ. Notice, being personally identified by the original headship. Glory. Now, we all have to be identified by that original headship. Yes. You know, we can say we're a good wife. You know, we may be a sister sitting here, and we can tell everybody, I'm a good wife. I treat my husband so good, and I'm so nice to him. And, I do this for him, this, that, and the other. But you know, that person you're telling at may not see the whole picture. But husband, he sees the whole picture. Yeah. He sees all these other things that ain't right, that Sister Susie at church ain't seeing. That's the kind of way it is with us. You know, we can say we're this and we can say we're that. But one thing about our precious husband, our Lord and Savior husband, he's the all-seeing eye. Amen. And he sees everything when things ain't going right, and the trial's hitting us, the test is struck, things ain't going easy, and then what shows up? What really comes out then? And how I've seen it, believe me, in the years, friends, of preaching the gospel. Flowery, I am this, and God has done that, and I am here, and I am that. And let a little trial in life be thrown at them. And friends, they handled exactly as Satan would himself. And you know what? They don't realize it, that they're in sin. They've accepted the trial they're going through in a way that Satan would accept it and produce it. But oh, how I love Jesus. And as soon as the trial goes away, oh, they're a good person again. But I want you to remember today with this true justification, when the trial has struck you and it's heaviest, shows whether you're truly justified or not. See what you're really made out of. We think we're really made out of something really good until we get a test or trial. And we all, what happened to the good old day, you know, of being in Christ? And Christ having the preeminence and Him being their true husband. What happened then? And with some, it takes a lot less of a trial to make them blow. To some, it takes something really hard, really striking, to even get them close to breaking down. But to some, it's just a flip of a finger. Just touch them the wrong way. And it's poof. You ever see them puckerfish? Huh? Anything at all just comes by, poof. They blow themselves up to make themselves look big and mean so you stay away from them. And when danger goes away, then that's the way a lot of so-called Christians are. When the trial test comes by and it looks a little dangerous, I'm bigger than you are, and I'm going to tell you I'm going to handle the situation the way I want to. That's the way the Lord Jesus Christ would. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ was there, He'd stay humble and small, and the Lord Jesus Christ would manifest. But we've got to show ourselves. Yeah. I'm saying these things for a purpose. And some things in life come by that should be so understandable. The trial and the test. If Christ was in us, it seemed to me that we should be able to let the Holy Ghost lead and say, this is happening because, and this person doesn't really mean to do this. They're going through something right now. They've got a problem right now, and they're in a low spot right now. I need to pray with them and pray for them and comfort them and be long-suffering with them and gentle. But no, when it comes against our flesh, we want to blow up and see how mean we can get, and how nasty we can say something. Instead of being humble, and the life of Jesus Christ have the opportunity to be displayed. And handle it like the Lord Jesus Christ would handle it, which is the literal life of Jesus Christ. It ain't all signs and wonders and miracles and people raising from the dead. It's the literal life of Jesus Christ. And husbands, if you please, if you are married, you've got your tests and trials. And if you can't remember they're the weaker vessel to start with, and maybe remember the things in life they have to go through as a woman, I ain't got much confidence in you, brother, that you're even a son of God. When you want to express yourself and show your hatred and your strife against your wife when she's going through her problems. Instead, you want to show your authority. And though she's going through maybe some real suffering right now. And there's times in life a woman does. I wouldn't want to be a woman for nothing. I thank God he made me a man. But I'm telling you, women have a lot to go through. And mothers, God bless you. God bless you. May God's strength be with you and help you. And help you to endure the things your flesh has to go through. And may God fill us brothers with the Holy Ghost to know how to handle it. To know how to control our brave, smart-aleck ways. I'm justified! Nonsense. I'm more justified than that ceiling is. We'll see why. Saints, this is all going to be a reality. From A to Z, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, it'll all tie and gel together. But Satan likes to get a hold of things like this and just set people loose. But I'm going to tell you, only predestinated seed this has been given to know. And outside of that, it isn't given to you. You'll ruin it. You'll tear it apart. You'll make it a mess. But the predestinated seed, it'll be done perfectly and precisely. Just the way God intended it to be. By him all things consist. And he is the head of the body. And he will have the preeminence over his wife. Wow, Brother Steve, you went both directions today, huh? The Holy Ghost did, not me. Amen. Let's go on. In closing, I'll try to hurry up here because I'm not going to get through it anyway. He says here, we'll go ahead and read this again. Not say, well, glory to God, we shout hallelujah, we sing. That ain't it. I'm a missionary. I've been 7 times practically over the world, see? I've seen heathens, devils, and everything else dance and shout. I've seen all kinds of fleshly manifestations as carnal, but I'm talking about the headship of Christ. Notice, being personally identified by the original headship. We have the answer to the devil's question. Amen. We have the real answer to the devil's question on this. And what the devil wants to do with it. It's just normal, saints. The devil wants to take everything apart that God does. But there is a true justification, regardless of how many people get a carnal interpretation. There is a true justification. Notice, being personally identified by the original headship, we have the answer to the devil's question. Amen, glory, says. We have the answer to the devil's question. He, Christ, is risen and has paid the price, and raising up the head or the body, he says, the devil can't stand it. The devil can't stand that. Ain't no way. He knows if people get a true revelation of this, friends, he can throw all the accusing he can at you and it won't do no good. He'll accuse you and accuse you and accuse you, but it won't mean a thing, friends. No. The devil can't stand it. That's the reason these ecumenical kingdoms are setting up. That's the reason they're all coming into what they're doing now. The devil, that's the reason he's howling the way he is. His wickedness, his scheme has been uncovered by the risen, resurrected Christ in the headship. Glory, hallelujah. has been uncovered by the risen, resurrected Christ and the headship over his body. Aren't you part of his body?
Amen.
Absolutely. And he's got the preeminence, friend, of his body. Yes. All right? You think I'm beside myself? I'm not. We've got the devil's answer. Not me that liveth, but Christ the Word living in me. It's not my idea, it's his power. Not my idea, it's his word. He promised it. Here it is. He said it would be here, and here it is. We got the answer. Christ is risen and has paid the price for our redemption. And what God in Christ manifested, he gave that flesh, that in the blood, that in the blood might come the life and the flesh be redeemed. God in this redeemed flesh could manifest his word for the day as he did in that day. Woo, glory, he says. Then we stand justified in the presence of God. A drop of ink dropping into a tub full of bleach, you'd never find that stain of ink no more. Impossible. It's went somewhere. It'll never come back again. Now we're talking about how God sees this.
Amen.
If you're doing what he says. And when man is truly redeemed, not thinks he's redeemed, when he is truly redeemed, that predestinated seed that sees it, oh glory, predestinated to seize it, hallelujah, and accepts it, his sins are demolished. Glory! Now how have I got proof I'm truly redeemed? Huh? How have I got proof my sins are totally demolished? I receive the word for my day and it vindicates itself. The entire word, Brother Bram said. In future home. Oh, glory. It's gone. It's separated. It's dropped into the ink, or it's dropped the ink, the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's never to be remembered. God forgets it. Hallelujah. But well, what if I'm still living carnal and fleshly? Huh? What if I'm not truly redeemed, but I think I am? If I was truly redeemed, there'd be overcoming. If I was truly redeemed, how could I treat my wife like a mud puddle? Like some dirty, greasy rag? Huh? How could I? If I was truly redeemed. Well, Brother Steve, I'm so good to my wife, and I'm... What about in her low times? Are you good to her? Oh, then are we good to her? Huh? Well, you know, she's just a woman. House of prayer attitude. Steve, look out. Friends, this gospel needs preached to the world. And all these sinners, church-going sinners, need a real repentance and a turning away from sin, which is unbelief, that they don't even realize what is sin. Right. Then we stand justified in the presence of God. A drop of ink dropping into the tub of bleach, you'll never find that stain of ink no more. It's went somewhere. It'll never come back again. And when a man is truly redeemed, that's predestinated seed, and sees it and accepts it, his sins are demolished. It's gone. It's separated. It's dropped into an ink, blood of Jesus Christ, and never be remembered no more. He forgets it. And he stands as a son and daughter of God in the presence of God. Amen, amen. He says, now we are sons of God. Now we will, he says, not we will be, we are. Now we are redeemed. Hallelujah. You see who it's for? The redeemed. We have Satan's answer. God has vindicated himself. God proves himself to his promise in this last day, or in this day. Hallelujah. The headship is here. Amen. Christ, the risen Lord, is here in the same power of his resurrection that he ever was, manifesting himself. There's the devil's answer. That's the reason when this man sitting here dropped dead the other day, sitting here, we could say, come back to life, because the Holy Spirit said so. That's why I could do this little baby yonder in Mexico. Had been dead for about 15 hours when the vision come and said, call it back to life. And said, let the little baby live. And the baby that the doctors wrote a statement died at 9 o'clock at morning and 11 o'clock at night, come back to life and is living today. Watch it. Now them people, the headship and the body has to become one unit. It's God manifested in his people. That's the reason the husband and wife are no longer twain, but they're one. What he does, she does. They're twain. They're joined together. Yeah. They're one. And God and his church is one. Who is God? The Word. Is that right? St. John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ in you. Listen to this true justification. Christ in you. God's great revelation, glory to God, even bearing his name is Jesus, the Christ proving manifest to God like that, that body did, and that body redeemed every. He said, and that body redeemed every of this, these bodies. And through there, God works his threefold manifestation, going to the kingdom, risen, paid the price, were redeemed, and God proved it and vindicated it. See? Oh, my. Hang on. Real quickly. Can I have about 5 more minutes? Amen. Let me do that real quickly here. And we stand justified in Christ before him. Because he cannot pass judgment. How could he pass judgment on himself? She's a part of him. For he's already judged that body, which I am a part of. What? How am I a part of it? Here it is. It's in me. Ye abide in me, and my word's in you. Then ask the Father anything in my name, and it'll be done. Because it's there. Justified. Glory to God, he says. Hallelujah. Oh, if I could get the world to see that. There you are. There is the body of Christ living, standing redeemed. Oh my. Justified in his sight. Why are we justified? Why are we justified? We are his victory. The church is his victory. We come forth in his last days with this glorious gospel showing his victory. He died for this purpose. Why? Because he wanted us justified. He died for that purpose. Hallelujah. And we are proof of his victory. If what? He lives in us. We are proof. When we see him coming down and living among the church, that's you, called out ones, that's his victory, and shows that he couldn't keep him in the grave, neither could they keep us. Hallelujah. Why? He'll tell us. And we're already potentially arise because we're raised from the dead, unbelief in his word, from denominational creeds, an eternal word of the eternal God, which is him. Himself working through us, manifesting himself that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, what if he wasn't living in us? He wouldn't have no way to prove he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he chose his body to do the works that he didn't do at that specific time, that he is now doing through his body. Oh, glory. And then the word moves on down into the body from the head. What is it? Same word. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. So that same word moves from head as the day comes close, down into the body, vindicating that they're one.
and they are husband and wife. They're flesh of his flesh, word of his word, life of his life, spirit of his spirit. And amen. How do you know it? Bears the same record, the same fruit, the same word. Oh my. See why I said what I did a little bit ago? Manifest Christ, the same life, same God, same Spirit, same Word, same book, same signs. Things that I do, shall you do all say, so also, oh, hallelujah. Notice the vindicated word in his body is his very victory and the reason of his death. See the death, not in the spirit. When he died, he only died in the flesh. You get that? Yeah. People think God died when he went on the cross because he was God in flesh. God didn't die, just the flesh died. His spirit went into hell and preached to the souls in prison. That's right, his flesh only died. Then he raised it up again and quickened it. Quickened it means made alive, his flesh, which was his body, and that's the word. In closing now, listen, Patmos vision. All right. Now I'll save that for tonight. Amen. Because I want to see bring some other things on that. Amen. Yes, we'll save that for tonight. Glory. But that's glorious. But to take an intellectual conception of it is not glorious. But to have the revelation of it is glorious. Amen. I hope you can see what I'm talking about this morning, what the Word is talking about. Amen. But just the Holy Spirit draws it back to our attention, that we can present it back and say, hey, don't miss it here now. Remember, God does everything precisely. Amen. Perfection of the saints. Amen. The perfecting of the saints. The perfecting of the saints. Nothing messed up. Amen. It has to be right. Precise. No flaws. Hallelujah. And I love it when there's no flaws. When you can take it from Genesis to Revelation, friends, and every word that prophet said, that's good enough for me. Hallelujah. Amen. I love it. Amen. Hope I didn't dampen your blessing on justification. No. But just remember this. The old devil's going to try to get a hold of that in your mind. Ah, yeah. Believe me, Brother Steve has already seen it over the years. Yeah. That was the problem the old Baptist I told you about. Yeah, he thought everything was okay as long as he took communion every Sunday. Well, Brother Steve, people in the message would never do that today. I'm going to tell you what. The old devil's working overtime on people in the message. Amen. Yeah. And he can get you to think it's okay and pacify you off. It's what you're doing. It ain't exactly the way God wants it done. And you think you're justified, you got a wrong revelation. Yeah. You didn't get a revelation from the Holy Spirit, from God. This is your personal idea of it. You're just trying to loose yourself for being able to do what you're doing. No. Friends, when it's Christ and the way he does it, it's every word, every word, every word. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Can you say amen to his word?
Amen.
Amen. Like I say, now, this might have been a little stiffer today, a little bit harder. But the thing of it is, friends, you've got to take all of it.
Amen.
Every word. Let us all stand. And if I didn't care about you, I'd just let you go on. Yeah. I'd just let you go on. You go ahead and do what you want to do and then pay the consequences when the Lord comes. But I love you too much for that.
Amen.
Amen. I want to see every one of you make it. I don't want to see none of you be deceived by what Satan can even put in your mind.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, again, it's been so good to gather around your precious word, and truly, Lord, again, the truth will set us free. And Father, we can see how Satan is going to try to work overtime and try to do all he can do to twist this one up, Lord. Take his true justification and try to twist it around to where he can make somebody
think, oh, I don't have to worry no more. Everything's okay with me. And then there's no desire really to overcome everything. But just be satisfied, well, that's just one of them things I'm going to be doing in my life and the Lord's going to appear, but I'm truly justified and everything will be all right. Well, then, Lord, that would toss out all your other word. But, Father, man shall not live by just part word, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we ask now that you would bless us with the true revelation of this true justification and what takes place in a man or a woman or a young person's life that is truly justified. Lord, help us now. Lord, I'll do everything you want me to do. You just lead me to guide me, and also, Father, just give me the quotes and scriptures to read, and I'll renew their minds back to it. But, Father, I still lean upon you to reveal it, because I know you're the only one that can. So I ask now that you would do that for us. And, Father, if we are not in that position, then we cry out for revelation, Lord. Oh, God, as I said at the beginning of service, we must understand how dangerous it is to walk out these doors and not understand it, and not receive the revelation of the Word. We've got to realize it, Lord. So, Father, help us now and guide us in all truth and righteousness. In your holy name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. May God bless you. You're dismissed. Praise the Lord.